Good day, everyone. This is your boy D Wells with Why Not You. Thank you for joining me in this episode. Ooh, this is gonna be a fire one, y'all. Hey, I have the honor and privilege to speak with Daryl Jones, who was a dual threat in high school who dominated in football and baseball. And he knew early on he was predestined for greatness. You know, his mother spoke those positive words of affirmation over his life, and he believed he could achieve and accomplish anything he set his mind to. Signing a major league contract with St. Louis Cardinals out of high school was just the beginning. It takes discipline, faith, and confidence to succeed in this day and age. But I'm not going to say it all. Just join me in this episode of Why Not You.
Watch this puppy.
Boom.
Yeah.
Here we go, y'all. Here we go. I'm in the house with my boy Daryl Jones out of Texas. You see the man wearing a baseball cap with the big T on it?
Yes, sir.
How's your day going, man?
Man, it's going good, brother.
Yeah.
I told you before, just got out of the meeting, had to get over here, represent my boy D Wells, and we talked that talk.
So yeah, that's right.
I'm ready.
Ready. Hey, man, before we get kicked off, man, I always like to start off with a couple quotes or so. And man, I just thought these quotes right here were ideal for, your background, baseball. I was like, man, let me just set it off straight. Yeah. I need to depend on someone who is bigger, stronger, and wiser than I am. I don't do it on my own. God is my strength. He gave me a body and some talent and the freedom to develop it. He helps me when things go wrong. He forgives me when I fall on my face. He lights the way.
Hmm.
Mr. Hank Aaron.
The part that stuck out to me, man, is you said I need to depend on somebody bigger and stronger than I am. And personally, I feel like that. It spoke to me because, growing up without a father, you learn to kind of depend on yourself.
Yeah.
And so always, kind of like that default mode is kind of getting back into, I got to do it myself. And so that's the first part I said, I need to depend on someone bigger than myself, especially an athlete, you kind of do it yourself.
Right.
So that's real. That's real, man.
That's cool. And I know, man, you former baseball player. Just kind of growing up, man, how'd you develop that passion to play baseball, or was it just something that you were good at growing up as a kid?
I'll take you back to a story. My mom would know it most, but she bought me a bat. I was about 3 or 4 years old. And I'm going to say she said this just because I don't remember being alive until I was about 5 years old. I don't know if you had those thoughts, but, I'm like, what? I don't remember none of that stuff, but. She said that she bought me a bat, a big red bat at 3 years old. And we were out in the parking lot and she was trying to throw the ball to me. And I was trying to correct her, saying, no, mama, don't throw it like this. You got to throw it like this. And, and so she said that I was just teaching her that. And that's when she knew that I wanted to go baseball route. Wow. And then you just spend time as a kid, you start exposing yourself to it on a regular basis, like anything, right? And then
right.
That passion and desire starts to grow. And then you see this dude over there getting all the shine and,
right.
Everybody talking about him, like, I want to do that.
Yeah. So, man, can you describe a defining moment that, when you knew that you were, that this is something that you wanted to excel in and because you were good at it?
Yeah. So, at the age of, I think I was 10 years old, I got sick and I was in the hospital. And I remember my baseball coach came to see me. And you're young, you're trying to please your coach.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was there weren't that many summer league travel teams at that time. Like if you played travel ball, you were serious.
Yeah.
About it. And me and my mother, she was talking to me. She was like, this year I want you to play football. Let's do something different.
Uh-huh.
I agreed. I said, yeah, I want to do football. And when my coach came in, I switched up on him, and I remember yelling out to the coach, I'm going to play. Cause he came to look at me, to look at him, but also figure out if I was going to play and get it.
Right.
I'll never forget, he walked out and I yelled out and said, I want to play football. My mom just gave me that look. Like, and so for 2 years from the age of 10, I started playing football. I was real good at it. And taking those 2 years off, it made me miss the game. It made me really see, like, baseball is really what I love to do.
Yeah.
Like, I love to do that, you know. And that moment is what sticks out to my mind the most, as when I made a decision, like, okay, yeah, I'm good at football, but this is where it's at.
This is where it's at. Now, plus,
I was going to say, plus another thing, I realized that I could, my longevity of my career, like career-wise, I had to bang my head. And it was the best way to get the most amount of money with the least amount of age. that played a part in it too. So
yeah. Now, what position were you playing in football?
A receiver. So when I first started, they had me at fullback. You know, I was what, fifth, sixth grade. They had me at fullback, then moved me to tight end. But then, you know, as you start to lean out and stuff, then middle school, I started playing running back. Mm-hmm. Middle school, you know, throw the ball, so you get a ball to the guy. That,
right.
You know, I mean, now they might throw it, but typically the guys aren't, their arms aren't. You know.
Yeah, right. They're not strong enough.
Yeah. So you put your guy back at running back. So I did that. But then, so I started getting older, leaning out, high school, started receiver. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't talk about that much, but yeah. Yeah.
So, man, I know your game really has to be tight, man, because I know you got a scholarship offer, you know, while in high school. You was like, you know what? I'm about to take it to another level. What made you decide to skip college, man, and just go straight to the pros?
Well, so here's the deal. You know, when I said, yeah, I was talking about football. So I had 31 football scholarships, you know. Yeah, that's why I said, talk about
that. Yeah.
But, again, man, I made the decision that career-wise, like, the chances of me staying healthier and safer, you know, were in baseball, but I just never really wanted to go to college. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I was a 4.0 GPA student. I was national honor star, all that stuff. Good nerd. I was nerdy. I still am a nerd. You know what I'm saying? I'm that dude that'll sit there and just, you know, lock in. I ain't got to like to party and do that stuff, but I can just sit there and close out the world. So I didn't want to go to school. I was tired of just doing great. I wanted to play baseball. And it's what I knew, man. It was a game where, you know, I got a bunch of friends that you played with. I did it my whole life. I was good at it. It's easy to like what you're good at.
Right.
You know, but like I said, a lot of it was health wise. I didn't want to. I felt like my chances were better. Baseball.
With baseball. Mm-hmm. So, man, I'm about to go off script for a sec.
Yeah. Because
No, because I know sometimes, man, when you just kind of like hone in on something, it almost becomes like your identity. And so do you think baseball was your identity at that time?
All right. So I was like, don't do that to me, man. Don't make me talk from my heart now.
Yeah. Right. And,
let me I'm going to bring it back to you. So I just came back from the speak off down in Miami, Florida, so for the semifinals. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up. You'll see why in a second. So, and it was being taped for TV. And with Grant Cardone, if you remember Grant Cardone, you know, big real estate mogul, billionaire, whatever. So they're taping the show for TV. It should be airing here this year.
Okay.
It's called The Great American Speaker. It's like the American Idol for speakers.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out, I was like, okay, what's a way that I can stand out? Because it's being taped for TV. There's going to be almost 200 people here. I got to stand out.
Right.
I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear my baseball jersey. I'm going to wear my uniform.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And so I put my uniform on. Of course, everybody's like, oh, you know, it's a ball player, all that stuff. So this young kid comes up to me. And by the time there's about four guys standing around, four or five guys, we're talking. And he's like, man, so cool that you're a ball player, all this other stuff. I'm like, yeah. And I said to him, I said, man, honestly, I haven't worn this jersey in 10 years. Wow. And they were like, what? What do you mean? I said, yeah, because when my career ended, I didn't really feel valuable anymore. I felt like I was, you know, nothing, essentially. And in literally in the middle of that conversation while I'm telling him, I'm thinking, I said, But you know what, dude? I'm glad you asked that question. I said, because I'm finally to the point. I think I'm to a point now where if I take this jersey off, I still know I have value with myself without the jersey. And so it took me 10 years up to this point to see, like, dude, with or without it, I got value. Yeah. And so, because that comes from years and years of valuing yourself and putting your identity, not just as a man, because we, you know, we put our identity in what we do a lot.
Yeah.
But from that type of high profile, you know, exposure. Yeah. To answer your question. Yeah. You do put your identity in that. Oh, man. Look at this situation with Tom Brady.
Right.
I mean, dude just got a divorce because he couldn't step away from the game.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there might be other stuff, but that's the main thing. He couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of athletes that go into broadcasting and stuff like that. That's your connection to the game because it's tough.
Right.
Tough, bro. It's like, it's like a high, you know?
Uh-huh.
You start getting all that praise, and it's like, you know. So, yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important, or how would you say that, you know, your faith has actually played a role in that?
Man, that has been the foundation. It had to be. So in order to appreciate my answer, I got to give you kind of like the backstory. So when I grew up, so my mother, she would always, you know, grew up in a faith-filled household, you know, single parent mother, you know, raising two kids. And on the way to school, she would always pull out this paper and we'd be like, ah. And she'd say, repeat after me. She would make us say these affirmations. I am a new creature predestined for greatness. I'm a child of God, fully accepted by the Father. All this thing on the way to school every day. And so that built up our mentality as young kids, young people, to really excel at a very young age. Now, when I went pro, I got away from that. You know, it's about me, my talent, and oh man, I plummeted in a lot of areas, not just everything. It's just because I thought it was about my talent, thought it was everything. So I'll never forget the year in 2008, I started back with affirming myself and building my faith up in who I am, you know, not as a ball player, but at me. And that year, I was in double A that year, but I was an organization player of the year for the Cardinals. I went from hitting 205 at 330, just like that. Boom, player of the year. That was the year that really put me on the trajectory.
Uh-huh.
And I look back on it, it wasn't my talent. It was my belief in myself. And I saw that as the season went on, when I would go get in hard spots, I wouldn't stay down as long, or slumps, as we call them.
Right.
Stay down as long. And, so when I lost my career, when my career ended, I went through a, and it was the affirming, getting back in the word, you know, being around faith-filled people, you know, going to church and being in the, or, you know, being in around people, it got me back.
Right.
So I didn't die all, you know, because I was down.
So how important do you think, like, just having a strong environment, or, you know, just the right people in your life, you know, just to thrive?
Man, let me tell you, just 2 days ago, I had a high school kid. He texted me on Snapchat and he said, man, there's a difference between JV, being on JV team, okay, JV team, and a winning varsity team.
Uh-huh.
And this kid's 16 years old. He said, it's motivating me to want to be better again.
Wow.
That's not me talking. That's a 16, 17-year-old saying that to me, as if I don't know. But he's realizing the difference between a team that's kind of like, we're just going through motions, versus being in a competitive environment that's trying to push you. And so if he's realizing that at that age,
right,
it'd be dumb for me to say anything less than that. It is necessary to be in a thriving. Where do we meet at?
Right.
this conversation happening because we both put ourselves in an environment with Eric Thomas, and that boom, and that, I mean, the rest is history.
Right.
Yeah, money. Look, let me tell you how important it is. We spent, in some cases, a few thousand dollars just to be there, just to get out of my normal place where I could just stay and be comfortable, to go to another city to be a part of something that's not even in my city.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. That's what it does. That's what it does. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So what kind of mindset, you know, just back in the day, or just, like even now, that you have to have, you know, just to win in life and, to, you know, to follow through on, you know, some of the ideas and dreams that you actually have for yourself?
Man, it's a mindset. I often, you know, we always hear, you know, like the term belief, you know, and believing myself. And I like to be real detailed. And dude, it's just a process just to believe, you know what I'm saying? Belief in itself is a process where, I'll take you back to my childhood, man. My mother, she would, when we wake up, man, she had all these things all over the house, you know, scripture. She had, you know, just big, just thing you can see, the you know, attitude, you know, everything. She's always constantly pumping to us, you know. So from the moment that we woke up, and before we hit our day, she was creating a mindset in us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it keeps to be, and that's one of the things we're challenging even parents to see themselves, not just parents, but as leaders.
Yeah. Right.
She was leading me in a direction without me even knowing it. She was training my mind to see beyond where I was at. And so that's where I feel like I got that, the audacity to even think that I could go pro or do the, look, man, I know this talking about baseball, but I'm gonna tell you something straight up. I was way more successful in other areas than just baseball.
Right.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because it doesn't just work when it comes to sports. I'm talking about, I was the best at every, I was number one chair in the jazz band. You know what I'm saying? I was number three in the country in track in the 400, you know, every, when scripture says every, whatever you touch will prosper, literally I was prospering in everything. I didn't know enough about it to understand it. So I thought it was my talent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Saxophone, not talent. I mean, you can, it's skill. You got to work on that joke.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I did
that. I was about to say, but you got to have the lips right on that horn too.
Yeah, no, you do. But that's what I'm saying. It wasn't limited to just that. And your mindset, it determines everything, because my mindset about who I was, it started branching out into everything that I did.
Right.
And that's why I believe you see, I mean, look at guys like a LeBron James or Eric Thomas, whoever, guys that constantly be successful. There's a reason why they're not just successful in their actual sport. They become successful businessmen. They start being around other people. I mean, LeBron studies Warren Buffett. Yeah. What does that say? Warren Buffett don't ball.
Right. You
know? Why are you studying him? Because that mindset will take you beyond where you're at. It won't allow you to be limited.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that, you know, when you're talking about belief, I think, you know, there are so many people that believe in something, but something's preventing them from taking action in that belief. And it's almost like you actually have to go through a conversion process to where you're convicted enough to actually start taking action in some of the things that you believe, because we know the difference between right and wrong. But for whatever reason, some people might want to choose right, choose wrong, instead of choosing right, or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been there myself, you know. I think I heard it today. Somebody said something about either hard times either break you or make you, you know, depending on your mindset, how you look at it. Forget the guy's name, but he's a big time leadership speaker. I'll think of it later, but he has he was a Navy SEAL, and it's not Goggins. No, it's not. It's a white guy. But he has a speech where everything he says, his response is good. Good. So, man, my car just broke down. Good. You know, so he's like, learn how to fix, you know, whatever it is, it's good. This is an opportunity to go higher. And so I think my perspective on this, to answer your question, is I see now why people love watching athletes, because athletes athletes operate the way we're supposed to live every day. Mm. And we operate high performance under pressure. There's disciplines involved. There's routines. There's all these things that's creating a belief about yourself because it's structured and intentional. So when things happen, we've been prepared, just like a military soldier, you've been prepared through the hard times that you learn to walk through your fears. I don't mean like not have fear. If you think that none of us have fear, you're lying to yourself. For somebody to say, I'm fearless, no, the word courage would not be a word. No, courage means you're doing it in spite of. So I think people, we have to be trained to a degree. So allowing ourselves to be in down situations in order to be able to appreciate feeling the fear, but doing it anyways. If you think that I step up to a plate and I face a dude throwing 95, and I don't know if it's coming out of my head, that there's not a little like that. But you learn to operate that. I think my boy William, he says you have to learn how to operate in chaos. Mm-hmm. Wow. Who does that more than athletes? Who does that more than athletes? I mean, you wake up in chaos. You got people talking about you, you know, business out there. You know what I mean?
Right. I could even imagine.
Do a sport good. Yeah. You know? And then they come and watch you and get drunk and talk noise about you and expect you to do well because of the amount of money you get paid. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I mean, it's chaotic, but you do it, you know?
So do you think you were like, you know, just extremely competitive back then and just like hated to lose?
Man, if you like to lose, then I don't know, there's something wrong with you. Right. So if you like to lose, you can't come around me. Yeah, extremely competitive for sure. Sometimes too competitive, even yeah. Now. I think we have a word for that. It's called petty. because I feel like I've been fighting my entire life, you know, from 5 years old, you know, when my mom and dad got divorced and, you know, we were in the father's home. Yeah, you learn to compete and you're looking as a young man, you're looking for a reason to fight because, you know, you kind of got a chip on your shoulder and whatever it is. And then, you know, even if you start throwing the racial things into it and all that stuff, you know, black kid playing a predominantly white sport, you know, yeah, you walk in there with a little chip, you know, and, you know, they're trying to take me out, you know, all that stuff, you know.
Right.
And you can, some people say, oh, that's not the right mindset, whatever. Bottom line is you got to have some type of fight in you if you want to do anything in this world. And so from early age, I don't think I had a choice not to because of I saw my mom fighting every day.
Right. You know?
So that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And I know, man, I grew up in that same kind of environment where, you know, moms and pops, man, they divorced early. I think I was 6, 7 at that time. We had a younger sister who was just born, right? Not even, I think, maybe a year old at the time that they end up, you know, splitting up and divorcing. So, man, we think about just the challenges. And I made the decision to go live with moms. I was like, I'm about to be the man in the house at 6 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It didn't work out, brother.
How'd that work out for you? Uh-huh. Same here.
Yep.
You know, look, man, I'm still learning, bro.
You're right.
I'm still I tell people all the time, bro, like people think that because you do what you do in your sport well, that you just got life figured out. Right. And in fact, in many cases, especially for an athlete, I'd be the first one. I'll go on record saying athletes are probably some of the most insecure people on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And how you say that? Well, because take somebody and tell them, hey, we're going to pay you to perform for us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no intimacy being built. All I got to do is be one with this stick, this thing. Uh-huh. Got to do it well. And I ain't got to do nothing else. I can go home playing video games all day.
Shoot.
Who wouldn't take that? Look, and then you want to ask Tom Brady why he's getting a divorce?
Yeah,
the man is living, bro. Yeah. It's hard. I wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't know personally.
Right.
The struggles. So hitting the baseball does not help you raise a family you learn how to raise a family by having to raise a family.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. So
was that a hard transition, going from baseball to not even playing anymore?
Most difficult time of my life, bro.
Yeah.
Difficult time of my life. I was having a conversation with a guy the other day. I remember me saying the words, or the phrase, I said, just because your response does not determine whether you've been through trauma or not.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
just because you don't go crazy or all that stuff doesn't mean you haven't been through a traumatic experience and need to deal with that.
Right.
See, a lot of people around me, especially because of my personality at times and stuff like that, they think, oh, he's got it together. Oh, he's a, when you're a leader, you know, when you're a leader and people expect that you got it together and you're having to hold things in. And sometimes you need somebody to come up and say, hey, are you all right, dude? How are mm-hmm. you?
Yeah.
Especially as a man, how are you doing? You know, I know you're running a family over there. You got the same problems I got.
Right.
How you doing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So my real self, I got left behind a lot of times. I left myself behind trying to go, you know, make sure the kids are doing this and make sure the family's okay. And then you start neglecting yourself. And then you start rationalizing in your head that, no, if you don't do this part, you're being selfish.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you're being more selfish by not taking care of yourself, because not taking care of yourself, you are not able to bring your best self to the table when they need you the most.
Right.
So learning how to set those boundaries and learning how to say yes to me and no to this over here, even if it comes with, you know, some rejection or being upset, I'd rather you be upset at me now than be upset at me longer down the road because I never got this taken care of.
Right.
So, yeah, it was definitely a tough time,
mm-hmm.
you know. But as you see, I'm learning.
That's right. And you're growing. I'll never forget, man, when we were at the conference, and I can't remember the guy's name. He was the coach, though, who was actually more of a personal coach to a lot of the whether baseball, just athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about the basketball player.
Yeah, the white guy. The white guy.
Right. And he talked about the dude who was a shooter, and he was in the slump. And he just straight up asked him, you know, some personal questions. And the guy was right. And he says, hey, man, if you're struggling in these areas of your personal life, you can't expect to be excelling in some of these other areas that you're working in. And I mean, that part right there just hit me, man. It hit me like a ton of bricks, because you have so many people that just act blindly, just thinking that they could do it through working hard. And it's not the case. That mental got to be straight.
Bro, listen, I'm glad you just said that right now, because I'm going to take notes on that. You know what I'm saying right now? Because that's it's a good reminder that, like, dude, we are people.
Right.
Hitting a baseball, shooting a basketball, throwing a football, that's a skill set. Okay. Some are more gifted than others, but it can be learned.
Mm-hmm.
You may not do it like I can do it because I may be more athletic than you or whatever, but it can be learned. And so if we're putting all our things in, oh, he works hard because he's developed this skill set. Okay, cool. But there's some other area back here that's getting neglected. Even though he's making $150 million over here, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some area that needs work.
Right.
And what happens is, as society, we say, because dude is over here making $150, dude's over here making good money, he's got life figured out, because the money begins to be the gauge from which we judge whether somebody is, and to a certain degree, success, yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. because he disciplined himself in the area. But remember, all those hours, and this is not a bad thing, what I'm about to say. This is not, this doesn't mean but what I'm saying is, if I am putting 14 to 18 hours in this area over here,
right.
that means there are 20 other areas that are not getting that time.
Right.
Pick one. Pick one. You know, and so that's what I'm saying. We all got something that needs work, that we need a coach or somebody to come in and remind us, hey, man, don't forget about this.
Right. Man, that's important right there. It kind of goes back to that whole accountability.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
We had an off-screen conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there's a lot of areas that can have that we need accountability. But I guess my thing I would just say is make sure the area that you're excelling in is mm-hmm. the one that you want, that you had planned on excelling in, and not doing it just because it meets you, you know, even financially over here, because you may find out that, you know, there's a lot of people that are making good money. They're not, you know, they're torn up inside.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that's what we got to be careful, man. You know,
right. And I know now you're making that smooth transition, man, to create a culture.
What you talking about smooth? Hey, smooth. I ain't never said smooth now. I never said smooth. Look, that's not a lot of everybody in that says.
I know, right? I know anything, man. I know it's work, but man, here you are. You transitioning to making that I'm not even gonna say smooth, but
and man, transition.
Yeah, transition. But it's transition. Community work. It's straight community work, man. To create a positive culture in the school system, that's huge. When we were talking, and you know, you let me know that, hey, man, this is something that I'm working on. Man, one of the first things I thought about was Dr. Miles Monroe when he talked about gifts. It wasn't gifts, but he talked about things that we were pursuing. He said you can always tell if it's something where it's selfish for selfish ambition or for others, because whatever God has you doing or moving in a direction, it's always going to benefit other people. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing, man, is going to benefit some amazing people. They just don't know it yet as soon as you touch that life, but they're going to know then.
Yeah, man. You know, I've come a long way in that area. And I feel like the trick for all of us, especially, you know, believers, faith-filled people, anybody that, you know, is thinking higher, and the issue, at least for me, has always been, can I do this and still be profitable? You know,
right.
And then the mind starts saying, well, you know, this is money, you know, it's like, first of all, I know God wants me to have as much money as I can get. Man, Eric said it perfectly. He said it perfectly. He said, yo, get the amount of gifts you have, that's the amount of money you should not. You ain't supposed to be broke. You ain't supposed to be, because you can't be purposeful and broke like that.
Yeah.
So that's been that was kind of the issue with battling with, can I be purposeful and profitable at the same time? And Miles Monroe said it just like that. He said, your profit is tied to your value. So when you start increasing your value, money is attractive. You can't fight it, because it comes and he's the one that actually started talking about the disciplines of athletes and why people watch, because ultimately you get so disciplined in something that people will start paying you to perform that discipline, you know? And so that's what it comes down to, is I think the problem is wanting the money without the disciplines that draw that money to it. Because if you're disciplined, you don't have a problem receiving, because you have intentionally incorporated that into your life. You
right.
deserve that. That's, you expect that, put it like that. You expect, because you're putting in the time, the effort. And so when you're putting in time and effort into community, and you're creating value for the community, you deserve to be able to profit from that, so that you can even be more profitable, you know?
Right.
And that's always been the battle. I don't think it's talked about enough, especially in the faith community a lot, because, you know, anytime somebody bring God in, it's like, bro, come on, man. Ain't nobody trying to be broke, bro.
Right.
Shoot. So yeah, man, that was my bit. Honestly, that was the biggest struggle. But then I saw.
Hey, thank you for joining me in this episode of Why Not You. That was just part one, y'all. Part two is coming up. Hey, so stay tuned. In the meantime, you guys know what to do. Have a blessed week. And remember, work on becoming the best version of you.